approach. Our last case this morning is Markey v. Markey. You may approach.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court, counsel, my name is David Kiker. I'm counsel for the appellant, Cody Slama, formerly Cody Markey. As kind of a preliminary matter, there were two issues, two assignments of error we had. One had to do with the district court's failure to grant my client's request for a change in schools for her son based on a move, and the other one had to do with, we believe, abuse of discretion in changing the custody arrangement. While I need to talk about the school issue, somewhat as it intertwines into the custody issue, we are withdrawing that. My client at this point, or a couple of years later, due to recent events, no longer takes issue with her son attending school in Crete.
So you're formally withdrawing that issue?
I am formally withdrawing that issue. There's going to be some comments that I'm going to make that have to do with that, that do intertwine with custody. But I formally withdraw the request that the child be allowed to attend school in front.
Is there any objection to that from the other side?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Give you a little background. 2012, Mr. and Mrs. Markey get divorced. My client, Cody Markey, was awarded the joint. She was awarded the sole physical custody of her son, Caleb. Mr. Markey was awarded parenting time in a 9-5 schedule, every 14-day cycle, 5 overnights. And as part of that, as we just touched on, there was a specific provision that the child had to attend school either in Crete or Lincoln, because mom lived in Crete and dad lived in Lincoln. My client did, in fact, move to Friend in 2014. She and her new husband, who she married in 2014, bought a 5-bedroom house there. Instead of renting, they bought their own home for the two of them. Her husband had a child in another relationship. My client obviously had Caleb from a prior relationship. And during the marriage, there's two additional little boys that have joined this family. So, if you will, there's four kids in the household. Regarding custody, it's our contention that when we raised this issue, we filed a complaint just to change the school. Again, my client had moved to Friend. It made no sense to have Caleb going to school in Crete when neither party lived in Crete. And because that didn't make sense, didn't seem like it was best for Caleb, he'd have to commute every day of the week, every week of the year, as long as school was in session both before and after. It made sense that he only have to commute in the days dad was exercising his parenting time. What the court did, though, and we believe it was in, what the court did was respond to the cross-complaint filed by Mr. Markey. As soon as we raised the school issue, then suddenly he raises this issue of, well, I want custody of Caleb, and suddenly mom is deficient in her, not in her parenting, but the issue he raises is she's deficient in her care of Caleb, who suffers from cystic fibrosis. We think the timing of it is more than just suspect, in that there were no complaints, no concerns raised by Mr. Markey with respect to my client, again, until she seeks to change this school arrangement.
Is this not an issue of credibility, though, for the trial court?
I think credibility absolutely plays a huge role in this. You know, and it's a weighty evidence case, too.
And aren't we limited for an abuse of discretion? Or what's our standard of review on that?
Well, you will have to determine the judge Strong made a mistake and she abused her discretion in changing the custody arrangement. Again, my client had, we always focus on physical because that's where the child was. My client had sole physical custody and the judge made a huge change in changing it to joint physical custody.
Well, and let's talk about that for a minute. My understanding, as you said, mom had sole physical custody.
True.
Dad was asking for a change to sole physical custody and the judge awarded joint. Did any party request joint?
Not that I recall. I know our position was that nothing should change. I can't speak, I guess, for Mr. Markey's counsel. I personally don't recall that issue ever coming up. I think both parties were adamant, my client, that why on earth would you change custody? I am a good parent. There was no finding that there was a fitness issue. There was no finding by the district court of neglect. Why would you change custody just because my client moved?
Is it a problem if neither party is requesting joint custody and the judge at least from my review of the record, didn't advise the parties that he was or she was contemplating joint custody. Is that an issue?
I believe it is. I mean, I think she used her discretion. I think both parties were surprised by the outcome. I can tell you, we weren't anticipating an outcome like that. You know, and the whole focus of Mr. Markey's argument really was, I mean, he didn't really get into to parenting or lack of supervision. It really was the cystic fibrosis issue. I mean, as you see throughout the record, there's all kinds of evidence, but it's primarily just from Mr. Markey on the issue. I think that the problem that we've got is that this change that the judge made, again, and your point's well taken, that she changed to an arrangement neither party asked for, that neither party was, alleging was in the best interest of the child. But the change was made just on, really, the testimony of Mr. Markey, that the client and the client, Caitlin, the child, with the cystic fibrosis, comes up to Omaha regularly, goes to Children's Hospital, and there was unaware of this. There's actually a cystic fibrosis team there that deals, they are the hub of all of his treatment and care. And no one from that team testified. We didn't hear from any treating physician, any treating nurse, no one from the cystic fibrosis clinic that my client was somehow deficient in her care of her son. So
no, but what the evidence was Mr. Markey saying, these are all the things that have been told to us by the medical professionals that we need to do for our son. And it was really the stepdad who had the morning care of Caleb. And the evidence seemed pretty clear that he wasn't doing what Mr. Markey was saying was required for the child.
Mr. Markey's a banker. He's by no means a medical expert. And my client had testified that she is in regular communication with the cystic fibrosis team and Children's. And they have never indicated they have any issue, that they have had any issue with my client or her husband's care.
Evidence, though, that she ever told them that she's not doing the 30 minutes of the vest or not on a specific medication for the 30 or 60 days that she wasn't providing it? I mean, was there testimony that she told the healthcare providers that and they said, that's okay, you don't need to do that?
Well, and that's a hard question to answer because we don't have an expert opinion in evidence that we don't have Ms. Markey saying that is in fact the case. We don't have a medical professional saying, you can use saline when you run out of Pulmazine. I mean, what we have is a bunch of conjecture from Mr. Markey that somehow got traction to the point where even though he's just a layperson and even though there's suspect timing for all of his concerns, We have a judge making a monumental change in custody of a little boy based on covert operation that he conducted, and I think it was for 6 months he's keeping track of, the timer on the vest and trying to track medications and that.
Well, he was familiar with the timer on the vest, but apparently your client and her husband were not. Is that correct?
I think that's true. Okay. Initially, she was not aware of that. What's disturbing about that is you wait several months, and he truly, Mr. Markey seems like a good man who loves his son. Why on earth would you sit on that information for several months? That's the problem that we have with it is, you mentioned credibility, Judge, a little bit ago, and I think the credibility of Mr. Markey is an issue because, again, who sits on that information? If he truly believed that his son wasn't getting the treatment and the care and the medications that were required to treat his cystic fibrosis, who on earth would focus on sitting on that information to create evidence for trial as opposed to saying, hey, I have concerns about this. Can we talk about it? Can we dialogue? Can you explain that to me? Because the health of the child surely comes before marshaling evidence and creating evidence for trial.
I want to clarify the situation before all this got started. Your client had sole physical custody, but the parties had joint legal custody. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was by agreement of the parties. There was not a trial at the onset of this case. So that, again, I think in a case like this, if you were going to make a monumental change in the custody of a child, the physical custody of a little boy who is in a routine, who's with his little brothers and his sister in this home, that you upset the apple cart and change his life so drastically, do you really do that on a lay person, throwing out facts and numbers on that with no expert opinion that was provided, Mr. Joyce is going to say that, well, there was a school nurse who testified. She didn't provide any opinion in that regard. There was a gal from Lincoln Pulmonology who I don't believe ever treated Caleb, who provided some testimony about just, you know, CS and, you know, and what it looks like and his traits and characteristics. And Grandma, who hasn't been a nurse since 2000, provided some testimony. But what was glaring is, do we not need an expert opinion to tie this together? Do we not need some medical professional to say, well, I've analyzed the situation, I've spoken to the parties, and render an opinion that I don't believe that Caleb got proper care or that Caleb was somehow harmed by improper care? There's just too much writing on this to make such a monumental change. I'm just a layperson. It doesn't raise any issue until we ask to change the school.
Thank you. I think you're out of time. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Andrew Joyce, Morrow Bobbin Law Firm, for the appellee, Jeffrey Markey. One thing I want to touch on, Your Honors, is the representation that there was no credible evidence or testimony from a medical perspective regarding the deficiency of the treatment that Caleb was receiving at home. It's simply not true. There's a physician's assistant, Michelle Tizer, who's a physician's assistant at Lincoln Pulmonary and Critical Care in Lincoln. And she's also a board member on the Concerned Nebraskans for Cystic Fibrosis. She said that specifically that proper nutrition and consistent treatments, the treatments that Caleb is receiving, that these are vital to prevent irreversible scarring and buildup of mucus in the lungs that cystic fibrosis cause.
Did she render an opinion as to whether the treatment that Caleb was getting while at his mom's house was insufficient?
She did not, no. She was, as counsel indicated, she's not a treating physician assistant, but what she did have was an extensive base of knowledge on cystic fibrosis, and she's aware of the standard treatment that is given to children with cystic fibrosis. And, you know, what we did see as well is when these instances where Caleb was not getting the treatment, you know, we're talking about medicine, the clonazine that the counsel mentioned, 6 weeks go by, and he didn't receive any of this clonazine when in mom's care. The smart vest, over a 5-month period, you know, this was 30 minutes, once or twice a day, that this smart vest should be worn to break up the mucus that accumulates in the lungs. This smart vest wasn't being administered for 65 fewer hours than what was prescribed.
Can you address Mr. Kiker's argument, though? If Mr. Markey was truly concerned about the welfare of his son, if not getting these treatments was really detrimental to him, why would he keep that information to himself and not talk to his wife about, or his ex-wife about?
Well, I think the evidence showed that he did, and that he did reach out to Ms. Salama regarding these deficiencies. There were text messages where he texted her and said that he needs to be getting this treatment, he needs to be receiving that. And she said, you worry about your own treatment, something to that extent. Just worry about your own matters. And so I think
how far into his knowledge of him, of Caleb not getting the treatment were those text messages?
I don't recall. I'd have to check the brief. We did include those text messages in our brief. But, you know, I think that there's, especially when you have a joint legal custody situation, I think there's an effort, I think courts want to see an effort for parents to work together to try to address issues instead of running to the court every time that there's an issue.
I want to turn you to that, right? And I want to go back to one of Judge Reedman's prior questions. So we had a joint legal custody and sole custody to the appellant. So you were seeking sole custody, sole physical custody, and yet the court then ended up with a joint physical and legal. Is that a problem when the court didn't give either party notice that she was considering that?
I don't know if that's necessarily the problem, in my opinion, just because I think in the general posturing of cases, I think that both sides generally tend to disagree. I think that that's posturing. But I don't think that when you have a situation that joint legal custody is already established, that the court exploring other options when that's already the framework in place, I don't think that that's necessarily problematic.
So the fact that the parties have joint legal custody, you don't think the statute is violated if the court decrees joint physical custody in this situation where neither party asked for it?
I don't. I think what the court's primary interest and paramount interest is looking at the best interest of the minor child and what's best for the minor child. And here the court made a pretty detailed finding that the medical treatment, the medical care that Mr. Markey was providing was superior than that for which the mother was providing. But notwithstanding that, there's still a relationship that was built up over time, and it seems that was the only basis for maintaining the joint custody situation is because of that time that had elapsed. But I think it's tough to second guess a lot of those judgments that the judge makes at that district court level. But looking at it there, I think that the judge made a decision that, based on the evidence, which he believed was in the best interest of that minor child. And I think that, quite frankly, while my client was asking for full physical custody, I think that at least in that instance, it's better than a lot of alternatives. And I think that it would be in the minor child's best interest, notwithstanding the fact that no notice was provided.
And it was changed to week on, week off, is that correct?
It was.
And so he's not critical of that or unhappy with that?
Well, I think that, frankly, I think he is. But I think that also my client really emphasizes stability. He's talk about a guy, he's a banker. He's had the same employer for 14 years, right? There's a certain stability where, you're going through an appeal process, and I understand this is we're also right, but you go through an appeal process, and there's a long period of time from date of filing to when everything is ultimately settled, and I think it's tough to disrupt that flow. I think when your child is already finishing up first grade now, to make that decision to then uproot him and change schools again, I think that's a hard decision for a parent to make. And so I think that's more of the impetus behind my client's decision really to not contest this anymore. And I think that stability is really important here.
Wait, to not contest what anymore?
To not appeal the district court's decision. And
even though now he's driving 30 minutes each way for a full week at a time.
Yes. But the evidence shows that my client is capable of doing that drive because it isn't as burdensome as it's a 27-minute drive door to door for my client, which round trip is approximately an hour. But when we were talking about going to school in Flint, that becomes a bigger issue because now it's a 50-minute drive. So door to door, you're now talking about a 2-hour drive, and that's significant for somebody that has 8 to 5, pretty stable job. And I think that for him, that was a consideration. That Crete was something that they agreed upon. I understand it's no longer before the court, but Crete was something that they agreed upon that he was fine with. But then when all these issues come up, I think then at that point he's reevaluating. But when we look at it now, in terms of the stability that my client can provide, the guy has lived in Lincoln for 14 years, whereas in the last 4 years, the mother has lived in 4 different locations, and I think that my client's position was that the minor child has been uprooted and moved enough that he needs stability, and that's what my client can provide, and that's what this the arrangement that the court ordered provides. It provides my client to have more Dr. Weintraub to provide the medical care that he simply wasn't getting while in the while the mother's custody. And really, the issue for me is it's not as counsel indicates that mom is now deficient in caring for the minor child. What the issue to me is that mom's no longer caring for the minor child. She's delegating these duties to grandma-in-law and her mother-in-law and her husband. And you know, the husband's trying as hard as he can, but he just doesn't have the educational background and he doesn't have the tools to give the care that Caleb needs. You know, he's this G-tube feedings where he gets his nutrition through a gastrointestinal or a gastronomy tube. Charles has said he's never done this, and I don't know if he knows how it. So I think that, I see I'm over time, but if there are any other questions, I can
answer that. Thank you very much. Thank you both for being here. Case is submitted, and you are excused. Thank you. That concludes our session for this morning.